Facebook, something came to me, especially as we were talking from earlier. One of the reasons why you are doing what you are doing is because somebody tried to put you in a box. Somebody tried to tell you in a corporate situation and setting that the only way that you could continue receiving a paycheck was if you completely sacrificed your physical, mental, and overall well-being. And you decided strongly that that was not okay. So the path that you have walked, the thing that you have traversed on behalf of other people, is reclaiming your own freedom, reclaiming a life and building it for yourself. And process serving actually was one of the first steps that you took into doing that. It was one of the first ways and places that you sought to reinvent your life after you kind of started to hone.
Woo! What's going on, y'all? Welcome to Industry Talk Podcast. Listen, that was a message, and it was a message from my business coach, and it is just so on topic for what we're talking about tonight that I had to add it in to my actual podcast. She probably is going to be like, now, girl, why you do that to me? But I had to add it into the actual podcast because her words always mean a lot to me. But sometimes you don't think about yourself the way others think about you, or you don't see yourself the way others see you. And this is one of those times where I just kind of didn't realize that I was really making the moves that I was making, or that I came from where I came from, or that I was doing what I was doing. So listening to that message from my business coach, Shauna Kay, listening to that message from her is like so much inspiration. I'm inspiring myself with myself, which is crazy, right? That's crazy. So that's a different way I started the show. But, you know, welcome. Welcome to Industry Talk Podcast. Now, if you're on YouTube, you can actually see the extra chair. If you're on my Instagram, you're on my Facebook, you don't see the extra chair, but I do have a special guest that's supposed to be coming to join me later on. She's also bringing the drinks. But so until she gets here, I am going to be drinking. You know what I'm drinking, man. Y'all need to sponsor me, man. Tell these folks to sponsor me, man. Somebody tag Pellegrino right now. Tag Pellegrino so they know they're getting tagged at this moment on the broadcast. But I'll be sipping that for right now until my special guest comes. And, you know, the special guest, she's actually not in the industry at all, but she can definitely touch on the subject today. And if you're not on YouTube, you don't know the subject today, so I'm going to give it to you right now. The subject for today's podcast is how process serving took me from being broke as hell. I mean, broke. I mean, dream car repoed, my house gone, my girl broke up with me. I'm talking about it was like a movie kind of broke, okay? Broke to a 6-7 figure earner, okay? And a 6-7 figure earner, the difference between a 6 and 7 figure earner and somebody who makes 6 or 7 figures, this is the difference. I'm an earner, which means I earn that because I'm doing it myself. I'm working for myself. I created whatever it is that is getting me to that 6-figure, 7-figure mark. That's something I did myself. If you make 7 figures, 6 figures, 7 figures, 8 figures, whatever, that means you're at a job. And they pay you a set salary. Sometimes the problem with a set salary is no matter how much extra work you do, no matter how much extra effort you put in, you don't get that reward of making more. But I can see right now on my lives, there's a Buck the Bodyguard, HB Solid, Simply Scott Beat. I mean, we talking, they're going to be some 7-figure. Sip, Scott, we know it's going to be some 7 figures coming your way soon. But you making it on your own. And it is super difficult because you can have the skill to get a job that will pay you, but you don't have that will to work for nobody. You don't have that will to be told what to do in a bad way. You know what I mean? And for everybody, jobs not like that. Jobs are not like that. If you have your dream job, stick with that. I'm proud of you. I thought I had my dream job and then I hated it, you know, and I couldn't do a 20-year bid in there. And you hear the terminology I'm using? A 20-year bid. I couldn't do a 20-year bid as a federal officer. I just couldn't do it. It just wasn't my thing, and I like not having to wear a uniform. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how process serving took me from zero to hero. No, I'm sorry. I've been watching a lot of YouTube. But how process serving took me from, you know, being broke as hell to not being broke as hell. And my guest is going to, she's a witness, basically, to that journey. And so, you know, and she's also bringing the drinks. So I got to, you know, that is important. But so, yeah. And I'm gonna try to share my story so that other people know that there is another way. I'm sharing the story because I think that I can educate, empower, and encourage someone with the story. So that's why this episode is about that. But first, like always, we want to, and if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see a lot of stuff on my desk. So this is my lighter, that's my phone, and ashtray and my water. So anyway, usually is a tighter kind of silhouette kind of thing going, but I'm going to have a guest. I'm going to scoot over, bring the chair in, and that's how we're going to do it. So I'm going to smoke today. I'm smoking a Hedley Grange Republica Dominicana. I've already smoked this. It came in my NRA cigar box this month, and it was delicious. I really liked it. Really heavy. I left my paper somewhere else, so I can't really give you all the deets, but I'll put them in the description on YouTube, so you can go find that if you want to find that. So let's take it out of the cellophane. Oh, snap. Don't sneak in. Come on in. Come on in. You breathing? All right, they can hear you.
Oh, wow.
Your whisper is not a whisper. Okay. All right, so she's here faster than I thought, so forget everything I just said.
Amazing.
All right, so.
Ready for a drink, girl.
Yeah, all right. Let me scoot you in. Now, you might not be in the phone, but this is the important one. You see right here? Look over here.
Yes.
On the computer.
Oh,
sorry. On the computer. Okay. So that's the important screen right here. So grab that bottle and move it out in front of your face. There we go. So move it maybe right here.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. Because yes. That is that's the camera for YouTube.
Okay.
And this is my Facebook. This is my Facebook. So Facebook, say hi to Sierra.
Hey,
okay.
Facebook.
And now let me adjust my Insta. Let me see. Can I get y'all Insta up in there? You in there? There you go. Yeah, we in there. You don't gotta see my whole face and stuff. You can get closer, girl.
Hey, Carol.
Oh Lord, you can get closer. All right, so
8 minutes messed up the whole operation. Y'all it's ready for a drink?
Yeah. All right. First, I want to say, me and this phone case is not getting along. But second, I want to say. Thank you. It's an old person phone case.
Yep.
Like holds your all right. Well, Instagram, you about to be woohoo. I'm about to give up on you. Oh yeah. Let's do that. Here, push that close. Good thing this is my show and not somebody else's show because then we'll do this, and that should be good. It's the phone case.
Okay.
All right. So let's see. Trying to get you in there.
We're all friends here.
Yeah, in the Insta. Okay. Instagram, just go on YouTube if you want to see everybody's face, okay? At this point, I don't care.
If you want to see both faces,
If you want to see both faces, go on YouTube. That's it. We done dealing with you.
We're not doing this.
All right, so, hey, girl.
Hey, girl. All
right, so, for everybody who don't know, this is C My Bar, Sierra. Man, what can I say? She does a little bit of everything. Been in the bar.
Definitely
been in like the
hospitality.
There you go. Thank you for taking
10 years.
All right, there you go, Insta. I do you like that.
Bartender, server, bus lady, all of the things.
Bus lady, as in like in the bar, not driving the bus.
No, Absolutely never.
Not driving the bus, son.
Absolutely okay. Never.
All right, so.
Yeah, I be busting.
That's
your
better,
table
right? Look at that.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, you know, we don't got no chin hair, so we good.
I mean, I got a little bit.
I do. I shaved earlier. Yep, so, anyway. Okay. So, all right. So, I was telling them about you and telling them that you were going to be a witness to the topic today, which I also didn't.
Oh, my God.
I didn't tell her the topic because I want genuine discussion.
Okay.
So, the topic today is how process serving took me from broke as hell in 2017 to earn about seven figures. In my business today. Process serving started after I lost my house, after the Jaguar got repoed, and after I lost my girlfriend.
You honest.
I'm being honest on it. See, that's why I didn't tell her ahead of time. Because you saw that? Honest. That was a genuine reaction, like, bitch, you about to tell them all that?
Yeah,
I'm about to tell them all that because I feel like it will educate, encourage, and empower some people who are either in that situation or just getting out of that situation because both levels are extremely hard and then maintaining where you've gotten to because that's where I'm at now. I need to maintain this.
And I mean, that's important that you can show people
this is important.
Yes, because I'm okay. Ready to drink.
All right, so go ahead. It's important that I can show people.
I was just going to say that it's important that you can show people that, you know, if you're in one point in your life or career, that you can switch it totally up and be in a completely different situation in a matter of, you know.
Year. A year. I mean, 365 days could change your life. 3 months, 6 months could change your life.
That's what I was going to say. Even 6 months. Like, yeah. I was just a bar manager, and now I'm a corporate lady.
Hold up.
You know what I mean?
A corporate lady.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. So, okay. All right. So, usually, I talk about the sponsors. You already know I'm sponsored by Mantis Tech. They're a dry fire company. The link to that product will be in the bio on YouTube. And I'm also sponsored by USCCA. That's self-defense insurance. If you take a bottle, crack somebody over the head, or take a gun and shoot somebody in a self-defense situation. Now, not just because you mad at little JJ for cheating on you with KK. All right, so that's out of the way, right? And you already know, I just gave you what kind of cigar we're smoking on today. So I didn't know what we were going to drink, but I chose a Maduro. I chose a dark, earthy type cigar because I knew you were going to be bringing me some really good whiskey. So I'm going to read it, but I'm not going to tell you about it. She's going to tell you about it. So it's Nelson Bros Whiskey Classic, a blend of straight bourbon and whiskeys, Nashville, Tennessee. All right. So go ahead and... let's just pour up.
So, yeah, quick. Let's pour some.
Let's pour up. So, these are my nice glasses that my mommy got me because.
You said mommy?
My mommy. Okay. If this is an honest episode.
You're right.
I don't be saying mom unless I'm mad at her. Okay? I'd be like, Mom!
You're done.
Mom! But, and, you know, I'd be like, you know, my mommy. So, she bought me a decanter. My first decanter. That's how I knew I was becoming a grown white man.
Yep.
Okay. You heard what I said?
She said what she said. Okay.
So, I'm sharing these nice glasses with you because I don't usually let people drink out of them. I'm sure you have before. So, let's pour.
So let's pour.
If you notice, there's no ice because she probably wanted me to drink this neat because I'd be letting it sit because I asked her for ice. And when I saw her walk in, I said, yo, clown me.
Ice.
Yo said, no, you little kid.
All right, no ice. Ice usually, you know, brings out some notes that you wouldn't get neat. And just expands your drinking experience, but you know, you don't really need ice.
Apparently.
So this is Nelson Brothers Classic Whiskey.
Show it to that camera too. Right there on the
what camera?
Right there.
This camera?
Yeah.
Camera, y'all see that?
Do y'all see that?
So if anyone is familiar with, I don't know where to put it. If anyone is familiar with Belmead bourbon, this is essentially the same juice. Repurposed, essentially. So the Nelson Brothers were sourcing barrels from Bell Mead and, you know, producing under the Bell Mead name. Mm-hmm. And now they are actually able to, because, you know, bourbon, whiskey, scotch takes a while to age. Mm-hmm. So you can't just, like, start out the gate with, like, this is a 10-year, you know what I'm saying? So now the Nelsons brothers are at the point where they're actually distilling their own juice in Tennessee. And not under the Bell Mead name. They didn't want to be associated Bell Mead anymore.
Did they do them dirty or something?
No, Bell Mead had a plantation.
Wait a minute. We about to have a whole nother podcast. Hold on. Can you do me a favor?
What?
Do me a favor. Scoot over real quick so I can get up.
So you can light your cigar.
I just feel like it might be a little too dark for everybody. Okay. So I'm going to turn on.
I'm going to take a sip.
I'm going to turn on a light so you can tell me if it gets brighter.
This is brighter, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, better? People can see you. Yeah, let's see. Y'all want it raw, so this is raw. You know what I'm saying? Raw there is. Yeah. I got to turn on the light.
Adjustments.
I'm adjusting the light.
Adjustments.
Let me see. Matter of fact, since I got up, I can get my little pen.
You got a tasting paper?
So, you know, I use...
Oh, the Bible! I'm sorry for those.
I meant
the cigar Bible.
Bible!
That's what I meant when I said that.
That's what you meant, but that ain't what you said.
I meant the cigar Bible, like the tasting Bible. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I thought I...
Cigars, whiskey, wine, even.
Why do people smoke cigars with whiskey?
People smoke cigars with whiskey because... just how they like roll the tobacco with different tobaccos, light, dark, medium bodied, like how people pair wine with things. People definitely pair whiskey with things as well. That, like, I'm sure I'm not as, you know, privy I'm not as versed in the tobacco world as Jazz is, but, you know, like different tobacco bodies can bring out different notes in the bourbon, mm-hmm. and vice versa. Bourbon, whiskey, scotch, you know, whatever. The Nelson's Brothers Classic Bourbon is a high rye bourbon mash.
Back.
Meaning, usually to be a bourbon, it just has to be obviously made in the United States and 51% corn, which... Let's cheers.
Woo! Cheers to you coming on the podcast. It's supposed to be her podcast too, y'all. Just to let y'all know.
We're working on it.
But she be
I'm
busy.
I'm adjusting to a new job.
When we said that it was going to be our podcast, she had a different job.
Yeah.
Now she a grown woman. And so we're going to cheers to that
new
job.
Anyone with a liquor license?
How
girl.
Now, why are they hitting you up? Tell them why they're hitting you up. Let's cheers to your new job. Cheers to you being on the podcast.
Look at me in the eye.
Okay, all right. Tell them why. Yeah, tell them. It's yes. Tell them.
Right.
Tell them why you. Oh my goodness.
You have to show the people proper etiquette.
Okay, do the proper etiquette again.
When you cheer someone,
uh-huh.
you look at them in the eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
You cheers. You beat the devil out of your bourbon, and then you take a sip.
Mm-hmm. Well, now there was devil in the bourbon, because I didn't hear you say that when I went to go find. Okay, well, we'll digress on that and talk about that off camera.
No, you're broke.
I do think I picked a good cigar.
Do you like it?
Yes, I do like it a lot.
I'm interested to hear you talk about why this pairs well with your... You said this was a bolder, like, heavier...
Oh, okay,
style.
That's good. All right, so this is from Crown... This is from Crown Heads. Headley Grange Corona. It's a Corona, which is the size and shape is like the vitola of the cigar is the size and shape, the type. A really long one would be like a Churchill because of Winston Churchill, and he always had them hanging out his mouth and stuff.
Yeah.
So just a little tip. Origin, Dominican Republic. Wrapper, Ecuadorian Sumatra Maduro. Binder, Nicaraguan. Yeah, a lot of practice. A lot of bad sounding out. Filler, Nicaraguan. I have to say... Nicaraguan is my favorite leaf. Like, I've had so many cigars.
Are they dark?
So many.
Usually,
But see, the wrapper is what makes the color of the cigar. So if you, so I have an Ecuadorian wrapper, right? But the inside, what you're smoking, the whole thing. But what you're really tasting is that filler and that binder. So it's this little couple parts, right? It starts off with the filler, starts off with the binder, you know, and then this wraps around that, putting it all together. Because the difference between this and a cigarette is a cigarette is packed with a whole bunch of different stuff, nicotine, all that. This is straight leaves. You're smoking plant, period. So if you need to switch,
period.
If you need to switch for health reasons, I'm not saying that you can't, you know, get sick from smoking cigars, but a lot more people getting cancer from cigarettes than they are from cigars.
Yeah, and like cigars are probably.
And you look better to the.
And you look like
you look better to the hoes. Okay, all right.
You feel what I'm saying?
All right, so. Handmade in the Dominican Republic at the EPC Cigar Company, the Headley Grange cigar line was inspired by the recording studio of the same name in which Led Zeppelin recorded their legendary song, When the Leaf Breaks.
I love that song.
I bet you did.
Okay.
See? Right choice. Right choice. All right. Like the song, the Headley Grange cigar offers a bold, mesmerizing smoking experience. That was their description. Like, tell me that wasn't sexy. Yeah, like, that's the NRA Cigar Club. Did you even know the NRA had a cigar club? I didn't either. I was randomly reading the magazine. Right? It makes sense once you think about it, but they don't advertise it. Right. It's for members who pay attention to their member benefits. Like, period. And, of course, I do, because why would I spend the money if I'm not paying attention? Anyway, so I chose this dark one because you a drinker. Mm-hmm. Okay, so people drink. Okay. Yeah, like...
I said what I said.
You did. She like 10 minutes in. All right, so you're a drinker, so I expected high quality. I expected complexity. I expected heaviness. Okay.
So why did you decide to pair a heavy cigar with...
Because I'm a smoker. I'm a smoker. I don't need none of that Connecticut light body booze. Oh, dang. She a drinker. Oh, I'm a smoker. See, this is why she got to come on every episode right there. You see that?
Okay.
I'm a smoker, and I chose to go all in. If I'm going to go all in, boom. I wanted to drink this first. That's why I haven't lit this yet, because I actually want to...
take a little sip.
Yeah, I want to get the notes of this. Because so, this will change this.
I'm interested to see what you're getting. Just because, for me personally, like I said, so Tennessee whiskey tends to be a little more on the sweet side because they do this thing called the Lincoln Colony process, which they charcoal filter.
You get a little closer.
Oh, shit.
There you go. Boom. Now you're in everything.
I'm in everything. I'm in all things.
Yeah,
all
right.
They charcoal filter their product, through charcoal just to get the rest of the impurities and any flavors that you wouldn't want out of your whiskey. And that's something, like, specifically that Tennessee whiskey does. Not all of them, but a lot of them do that. And personally, I really enjoy the Nelson's Classic Bourbon just because it's a high rye mash bill. Like I said, bourbon will always be 51% corn. By law, has to be.
I didn't know there was laws on bourbon. Like, ain't that crazy? There's laws on. It's tax and laws.
Right? You should know that.
It's laws and tax on everything, but okay.
There's laws on everything.
Okay.
Right, so classically bourbon, to be considered bourbon, has to be 51% corn, made in the United States. Where a straight bourbon has to be at least 2 years aged. And if there's an age statement on it, has to be the, if it's a blend, has to be the lowest aged bourbon stated on the.
And what's the lowest age?
But
three?
This, no, I mean, like two. But honestly.
2 years?
To be considered. Has to be aged at least 2 years, and I think bottled in bond has to be at least 4 years. But anyway,
okay.
This one doesn't have an age statement, but it's a high rye mash bill, meaning that it has more rye than other bourbons. Really, it really just depends on the company and you know, what their mash bill is, but always 51% corn. But a high rye mash will definitely have more rye than your classic bourbon. Bourbons people like because they're bright and sweet, and you know, you really get that corn, the sweetness from the corn. I personally like high rye mash bills because I think it stands up better in cocktails, old fashions, Manhattans. Mm-hmm. You don't want
those cocktails. People love old fashions, boy.
But for me, like, it has to be a rye or like a high rye.
So is this rye or is just a whiskey with high rye?
This is a bourbon with high rye.
Bourbon with high
just
rye.
Just because like the rye grain gives you like the spice and the like.
Right, this is not too spicy for me.
But it's definitely
some stuff I've had with
that
you.
That makes like,
and I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah.
What about that? Not to take away from Nelson's, but that new Uncle Nearest rye, that gave me a little burn. Did it give you a little burn?
Because you're a drinker. I don't know about exactly what mash bill they used, but I think Uncle Nearest rye. I mean, it's definitely a rye, which has to be 51% rye. Mm-hmm. Could definitely be more. But it was a little hot.
Okay, I just wanted to know if I was weak or what.
I think Uncle Nearest rye would be excellent. It's an excellent mixer for cocktails, just because
Uncle Nearest is a little chest burning anyway.
And I mean, just because like when you make an old fashioned or you make a Manhattan or you make any whiskey based cocktail, you don't want your whiskey to disappear in the cocktail. You don't want to be like, this is good, but it's a little flat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you still want to be able to taste the spice of the alcohol. So, I think high rye bourbons and just rye whiskey in general makes for better mixers for cocktails just because they don't get lost with all the other ingredients. I think Nelson's Brothers Classic is excellent. This would make a perfect old-fashioned Manhattan, just because it is a bourbon and it still expresses bright and sweet like bourbon and those forefront flavors, but it has a high rye
yes
mash.
Terminology
yes, sir, yes.
Forefront flavors. My forefront flavor before I even get into smoking my cigar.
Cigars probably do that too. This
forefront flavor,
the top of your tongue is where your sweet flavors come.
I got something to say.
You heard me?
I got something to say, but you know what? I'm going to keep it neat and keep it clean.
The sides of your tongue is where
I learned that at a Davidoff event. They actually had a chart. I won't get up again, but they had a chart that had different colors on the parts of your tongue. And they asked you, what did you taste on those parts of your tongue? That's where I learned
that.
And
did you see?
Not in school.
Did you feel... Not in school.
Right now, all right, I got a weird question. Before I smoke this, I'm telling you this is a heavy one.
Wait, you didn't smoke it yet?
No, I just tried to light it, but so all I taste is red. Is it possible that I taste the corn?
Yeah.
Okay, because I feel like it's sweet. You know when your mama, your black mama, now all my white viewers, this is something you should try.
You're
okay.
Dumb.
That sugar, anybody mama throw some sugar in a corn and some corn?
Me?
Come on now.
My mama did.
And it's a big debate in the black community with sugar and spaghetti, but I've had it both ways.
Chill, I do sugar and...
I do it in grits, but I don't want to argue.
It's either you want savory or sweet grits.
It's like, I do both.
I do both too.
Not in all things, but I do both as far as food with the sugar and no.
It depends. What kind of mood you in?
Anyway.
Oh, we're black.
This is not what, you know. Yeah, we black. So I'm just saying that I taste sweet corn.
Yes, that's good though.
Man, I taste.
That's actually really good that you taste, that you can still
taste
the corn.
A little weedy.
I wonder if they don't put the...
At first, I want to say on my first sip, I thought I tasted a little caramel.
Yes, that's very normal for, like, honestly.
I'm good at this, shorty.
The things that bourbon should give you, caramel, vanilla.
Okay.
Oak.
Oh, I said weedy, but I'm going to say it might be oak instead.
But
I said weedy, but
we
could it be
still
oak?
Definitely be a thing.
All right, well, I'm going to see how it changes.
Yes, because, I mean, anything, that's why people, food and beverage.
She smokes too, but.
Don't say fuck. myself a food and beverage professional, and food and beverage go together so bad because, like, anything that you, when you're drinking alcohol, whether it be whiskey, wine, gin, vodka, whatever, like, food, cigars, chocolate, dessert, like, anything will
change. You put me onto that little piece of chocolate, profile. I think somebody randomly told me to do chocolate, and then I, like, asked you about it, and you were like, yeah. Yes. And we had these, those little chocolates from Costco.
Yes.
And it had, like, little tiny sea salt on the top. When I tell you that I would take one, that would be my dessert. Now I'm fat, so I eat all kinds of stuff for dessert. But when I used to do that for dessert, like, I would have pasta and wine, and then I would decide to have a cigar, and I would have just one piece of chocolate. Break it in half, and throughout my smoking, literally changed the flavor. For cigars, it's like when you're on your first third. And don't worry, I thought she was coming at 7:30, so we started her portion first, which is cool because I always start with the cigar talk and the bourbon talk. I always do it first anyway. But we are going to get to my story. Zero to Hero. No, I'm just playing. I saw it on YouTube. So anyway, Zero to Hero.
You were never a zero. Make you
zero to never.
You were never a zero, baby.
Bro, nobody who wears turtlenecks like this was a zero. All right. So anyway, I don't know what I was saying, but I was pointing. I was pointing at it. And so basically, you got your first third. So that's right about here with the band. Then you got your second third. That's right about here. And then the rest of it is your third third. You could, if it's a really good and complex cigar, you can have different flavor profiles on each third.
That's interesting.
Because it's all about the combination of leaves. So they could have started the cigar with something. So here we go. That's is it too much for you?
No, I'm saying, oh, okay. No, does the ash affect the thirds?
So I want to say, if you smash your cigar down, twist it like a cigarette, or if you ash it, or that could affect what you taste. But if you leave this ash on and allow it to continuously heighten those flavors inside with the fire and the burning, you're gonna experience it way different than ashing it out, smoking it again. Because you're ashing it out, you're putting it out, you're mixing burnt leaves back in, you're pushing it in.
And like ash.
Air
also.
Too. And yeah. Ash. So now you're smoking ash. And I don't, you know, it sounded like something else, but I meant smoking ash, not, yes. So, you know, you want to make sure that you kind of smoke it and you savor it. You spend time with it, okay? Because if you just smoke it, you're not going to get that flavor. That's why she didn't bring ice. You're not going to get that actual flavor with this. It's the same thing by...
And yeah, right. Like, I mean, you doing that with the cigar, how you treat the cigar, however you treat your beverage is going to express differently. Like, I prefer to drink brown alcohol neat just because I feel like it gives the authentic...
Sorry.
This was forced.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Forced.
Brown chest hair.
It just really expresses the authentic expression of the juice, honestly. And then if you put an ice cube in it or just a drop of water in it, it'll break it open and express different flavors that, you know, maybe deeper flavors.
I didn't know that part. I thought ice diluted it and it just makes it a little bad because, you know.
That's a thing.
I had that experience with my Infinity bottle. You experienced that with me. I messed up my Infinity bottle. I didn't finish a drink. I didn't finish a drink and I poured that whole thing into my Infinity bottle.
Yeah, even
but it had ice and the ice melted. Yeah. And I put it in there and had ice in it. And now the ice and the melted and the diluted bourbon was in my Infinity bottle. If you don't know what an Infinity bottle is, when you take a decanter and every first 2 ounces or the last 2 ounces of every bottle that you open, you pour into your Infinity bottle, which mixes every type of bourbon, whiskey, or whatever.
It's a really interesting experiment.
You know,
I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah, I need more liquor.
Not yet.
You want to know what I'm going to get next? Blue Run. I think I tried to tell you about it. And you were like, what is Blue Run? That's okay. I got a computer right here.
We're gonna
pull up Blue Run. It's something that I tried at my gun club. Blue Run. It runs about $100 a bottle. which isn't that much compared to some other stuff that I like.
I know what
you've
that
seen
is.
That before. Okay, Blue Run.
I just
y'all can't see it, but y'all can go look it up on your own.
Thank you. I just not thank you. I don't remember tasting it, but I have seen the bottle.
So good. It was so good.
I feel like they may make a rum as well. I don't know.
They may. I think I
definitely could be wrong, but I feel like they may make a rum.
Yeah, so it's apparently like everybody doesn't drink it. It used to be rare. Certain ones are rare.
Okay, Kentucky.
So you see how this one is like a rainbow butterfly. That one's gold. That one's silver. So certain ones are different. Yeah, certain ones are hard to get. But it is what it is.
I love that about
it. I'm still trying to... Me too, actually. I'm still trying to get a certain bottle of Uncle Nearest. So y'all tag Fawn. Go ahead and tag Fawn in this.
Yeah, tag Fawn. We love her. Tag Fawn.
It's the one that they sometimes put it out at their distillery, but you can't really get it unless you buy the three bottles all together during Christmas. It's the, I want to say the green label.
And I mean, genuinely, label. I think that all of these things, like bourbon, cigars, other spirits, wine, I feel like food, all of these things go together because
see,
there are so
1820.
Many.
1820 is the hardest Uncle Nearest to freaking find, bro. 1820. Hmm. You can't even get it on their website.
Legacy.
So this is the one we've all had. The 1856, right. The 1884. Those are the regular ones.
The 1856.
But that 1820 supposed to be better. Yeah. Yeah, and I call it the green label because it got that, it's the green band around it. Not yeah.
I wonder.
So, but this is all of them. That's the one you had.
The rye. I'm so
and apparently
they
have a
rye.
Three. They got three ryes. They got this one. That's the one we had.
Jesus.
Yep. And then they got this one. This one. All of them like 100 proof. The one I want, the green, is oh there we go. Okay. Yes.
Yes. I am 21.
the one I like, which is the green one, that is. Oh, I can't even see what no, proof it is.
It's 10. I can't see. I can't really.
118.
Okay.
118.4. Then this one, Master Blend, 111.
And honestly, since these are like one-offs, they might differ like in proof. Because I mean, usually if you're doing an overproof product, it could differ like in proof, like. I know, like, I don't, for example, like, Wild Turkey does an overproof, I think, from, like, 108 to 114, and it differentiates between...
The batches?
The batches, because a lot of distillers will proof to, well, age to taste and not to age, actually.
Age to taste and not to age. What does that mean?
Like, I guess, what did I say?
Okay.
I guess whatever I used was a bad example, but like Maker's Mark.
Wait, what?
Because I forget what brand I just said.
We didn't know that.
I forget what brand I just said, but this is a better example. So Maker's Mark ages their cask strength 46, like their other, you know, higher end SKUs. Mm-hmm. They age it to taste. And not to age, and they're like, oh, well, why is there no age statement on Maker's Mark?
They just want it to taste good.
It's because they age it to taste, because, you know, it depends. If there's a super hot summer, and, you know, the wood staves expand and really, like...
Ooh, what's a wood stave? Girl, you giving us terms.
A wood stave.
She can take a class on this shit. You see what I'm saying? That's why I wait inside an empty chair, and I said, I got a special guest. Here she go.
A wood stave is what they make the barrels out of. And, Maker's Mark actually does this cool thing where the barrel select accounts can select their own barrel stave. Like, whatever, French oak, American oak.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
Oh, this wood has been seasoned outside for 5 summers or however many summers.
Like Jefferson's Ocean. That was last week.
And then you can put your selected stave into... already, you know, barrel of Maker's Mark, and it can kind of manipulate, well, not kind of, it can manipulate the flavor of your select barrel. So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of stuff to know and learn.
I love whiskey.
That's, I mean, well, I said she was a drinker. All right, so let's look at the appropriate camera. You guys are secondary, sorry. Oh, that's the appropriate not camera with secondary. The blue light. We're about to come into the second part of the show. The second part of the show is the topic. And the topic is that I use process serving to go from broke as hell to becoming a 6- and 7-figure earner. I said that I was broke as hell. I'm going to tell you why I said I was broke as hell. I was doing everything under the sun. Okay, I was, and she's here because she is a witness. First of all, if I was one of those people like in that Taraji P. Henson movie and her husband like was doing all kinds of stuff and he always had a different gimmick to make money, that was me, but not in a bad way.
But not in a bad way.
And I did always make money. I mean, I even did ACN. I even did ACN and I made money.
Good at it.
And I was good at it. So I'm always good at what I do. I was a DJ. I was good at that. Then I got bored of DJing, so I only became an MC. I was good at that. But it was never my... Thank you. It was never really my passion or my purpose, and that was the biggest issue. But to go back to it, I was doing a little bit of everything, and I made this business deal with these horrible people. We're not saying names. We're not saying names because I don't feel like it. I'm healed from this. And before you came, I played a voice message from Shauna about me using process serving to get out of that rut. Okay. Right? Because she was also there for that rut and she's also my business coach. So the intro of the show was actually her saying that I used process serving to do this because it was something that I actually didn't realize. And when she said that, I realized that. One, it's my favorite thing to do. I do a lot of stuff. I do private investigations. My company is a private investigation company, a security company, and a training company. And we train a plethora of things, okay? We train active shooter, situational awareness, firearms. We train security. We train PI. We train de-escalation. We train a lot of things.
It's de-escalation for me.
We train a lot of things. But process serving, it's the easiest way to make money. It's the easiest thing I could teach. It's my favorite thing. It's my easiest way. But being a private detective as a whole, I haven't seen her in a couple days. We're actually roommates and I don't see her. but I made 4K in one day. And this is important because I made 4K in one day. I don't have a car, okay, because my car decided to blow up on me, but that's another story. I made 4K in one day, right, without a vehicle. Okay, without help. The only person that I had help from was this one, okay? She was still a bartender, and she was working, and she loaned me her BMW. Everybody ain't doing that. She loaned me her BMW. I gassed that up. I brought that bitch back on full because I needed that. I didn't even know that that's what I was going to make that day, right? I had no idea because it was a lot of circumstances. But then I realized... this is what I do for a living. I literally do this for a living, and I can teach other people how to do this for a living. But before I teach you anything, before I tell you, oh, I made 4K in a day, and I can teach you how to do this, I want you to know that I didn't start today and make 4K today. All right, so I made a bad business deal. I decided to do this rent-to-own thing with this couple who said they were going to support me and support my business if I did a bunch of these things for their kids and give away a lot of services. At the time, I was doing photography, videography, all kinds of stuff. I'm doing events, which I still love to do. We did a charity event. Yeah, my events, I ain't never stopping that. We just did a charity event maybe 2 years ago at Guntry of Maryland. That was lit. But that didn't come through. I never didn't own the house, nothing. Now, some of you may know and some of you may not know, but I have rheumatoid arthritis and it can strike at any time, okay? And when it strikes, it's bad. So at the time, I was, had a podcast studio in there. It was a huge, huge house in the city.
And like renting?
Yeah, we rented it out for makeup stuff, studio time. People was coming there.
Parties.
We was doing our own parties. It was, you know, it had potential to do something. But one, I got lied to about the zoning. I thought it was zoned commercial because there was supposed to be a store in the back. So I was told it was zone commercial. It wasn't zone commercial. So people would call the police on us. We would have to stop the parties or shut it down or just not care until the police came, which could have been bad, but, you know, it wasn't that bad. But, you know, so that was the first thing. And then it was just bad. And then eventually I got sick. And I am not as mature as I am now, so I didn't have anything put away. At the time, I had left the federal job that I had, and I got fired from the federal job I had. But I was living off my 401k and then things I was doing extra. So my 401k was like my foundation money to get me, you know, through whatever. I did not want to get another job. That's a whole nother story. I knew that I didn't want to get another job. Like, I knew that. I knew I didn't want somebody telling me what to do or being an asshole to me just because they're the supervisor. I knew I didn't want that. So when I left that federal job stuff, I was like,
that's it.
That's it. I know I could have gone and got another federal job or gone and done something else, but I was like, no, that's it. So then that's when I started to touch on all my like little talents, videography. I had a TV show on ABC too.
And so many talents.
So many talents.
That you could,
I'm a talented motherfucker. But, we had a TV show, and I say we because I drag her along with everything that I do. So we
was so bad.
So we had a TV show. She hated being on camera, but she's doing great today. Y'all put in the comments that she's doing great today. We had a TV show, but I got sick.
It's because of the Nelson brothers.
Tag the Nelson brothers. Tell them that, you know, they are our
inspiration for this evening.
Our confidence juice, but I got sick, and the problem with having all those talents and doing all those things is it all relied on me. And if I can't walk, I can't shoot video, can't shoot pictures, I can't help with the podcast, I can't DJ, I can't do it. All those things were what was paying the rent to own. It was all those things were paying that. So if I can't walk and I can't do those things, then what was happening? Now, these people were supposed to be my friends. Called them over one day. I called him over one day. She helped me down the stairs. Mind you, it was 4 flights of stairs. We lived all the way on the top floor. I'm going to owe this nigga for life, okay? We lived all the way on the top floor. She helped me down the stairs, okay? Weak as I don't know what. Horrible. You know, she had to find me. I think, like, I was stuck in my room for a couple days. You know, it was bad, bad. I was literally stuck in my room. Could you just imagine holding your pee that long? Think about that, yeah, right? Like, the things that I'm talking about, let's go on a deeper side. Like,
and actually not being able to get up. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know. Yeah.
And I didn't pee on myself, which was
honestly,
cool.
Honestly, now, if there's
but as a security guard, you're used to holding your pee.
You good?
You know, we had a conversation with them. I told them what was going on. And I didn't even ask for, like, a long time. I just said this month, you know, as far as rent. Because in my mind, I'm renting to own. Like, yo, we doing all this. And, I mean, I was doing free crap for their kids. Free crap for them. Free crap for kids that weren't theirs. Like, I was doing a lot of free services. A lot of free services. And at that moment, when they realized that I could no longer do those free services, I was no longer of any value. Now, I've never talked about this story out loud like this before. And I chose not to do names because their names don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Who they are doesn't matter. So don't come in the comments asking me because they don't. That doesn't matter. What matters is that's the start of the demise. No, so that was the start of what happened.
That was the start of your revitalization.
Yes.
And, you know, like, you took the situation that you were in and you decided to pivot. And do something else because you didn't have another option. And, you know, the people that were supposed to be on your side didn't give you another option. So, you know.
They basically was like, no, you don't have to rent. You got to get out.
Period.
I mean, I did boxing events with the husband of the couple. Got him some cash. And, like, he didn't even do nothing. Didn't even know how to do nothing.
Bets or whatever.
Like, I mean, we was killing it, okay? Like, throwing Mayweather party. Like, it was lit. But at that moment, I realized, like, dang, if I'm not physically able to do what's valuable to you, I don't matter at all. But the problem was, I had to get out. So I had to get out. So I moved in with my girlfriend at the time. The day I moved, she became not my girlfriend. Yep. So I got sick. I got sick. I lost my house/business. and I lost my girlfriend. All in the same couple of days, right? Still had my Jaguar though. Still had my car. Still had my dream car. I worked really hard at my job. And, you know, I'm not a spender, like just spend. I did just buy some golf clubs and they were like $1,300. But that's something that's going to be helpful to get clients. And I'm a whole nother tax bracket now. But anyway, so I lost my girlfriend, lost my job. Lost my girlfriend, lost my business, lost my house. All right, boom. Moving fast. Depression hit hard. It hit super hard. It was bad. I remember being maybe a dollar or two. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but being maybe a dollar or two short for the delivery man, and I cried.
It'd be like that.
I cried because I literally didn't have that other fucking dollar. And we're not talking about the tip. We're talking about that it came up to more than I thought.
And yeah.
And I was short. And I cried. And when I decided to have this episode, but my business manager told me to only talk about the things that I'm healed from so that it doesn't stir up anything that I'm upset from, you know, that I'm upset still with. So I've taken the time. 2022 was my dig deep year anyway. So there is a lot of things that I am healed from that I didn't know I was even going to talk about, but it took me a long time to heal from that because I already was funny with money because of what I watched my mom go through or what I watched my parents go through or whatever. So I was already certain things I don't want to do because I don't want to be like that or I don't want to go through that or, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, everybody's funny with money because
it's... Not everybody.
I mean...
Some of y'all really got a lot of disposable income. Y'all just be out here. But they ain't got nothing in the bank.
Honestly, right.
Or good credit.
Everybody's funny with money because it's a really funny thing. And, you know, when something, knocks you down financially and you, the regular stuff that you you thought you could afford or...
Right.
Or it's just regular that you don't even think about. It's really humbling and...
It's good.
Aggressive.
Right? It's really humbling and aggressive. So it was like a bowling alley. One thing after another, knocked me down. Bop, 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 bop. Somewhere in there, I started to heal. I lost. This is my best friend. Let me not get beat up by my Buffalo friends. This is one of my best friends in the whole wide world.
We love you. I love the Buffalo friends.
In Maryland, also. This is my best friend. Holds me down through all. We done argued. We didn't own a club together. Did we not? I just posted that on Facebook. Flashback 2014. We didn't own the club. We had a drink.
That was amazing.
We had a glow in the dark drink.
Come on.
Let me tell you, these two people sitting there in front of you, right? We done did it.
That's crazy.
We have done did it. Okay, y'all couldn't hear that on the lives, but we have done did it. But. If you do all these great things without the knowledge of money management, they don't fucking matter.
And for personally, I was definitely about the club life. And I was like, oh my God, we're doing so good. We're making so much money. And Jazz just came to me one day and was just like, you know, I feel like I'm not.
Whoa. How did we get to that part? Okay. Go ahead. Tell them. I'm not. We're skipping. We're in two different stories now.
Okay.
So. I'm going to let her tell that part of the story because this was in 2014. We're actually out process serving all that 2018, 19. But in 2014, we had one of the first really big and popular after hours. Our after hours was so, and by the way, that's where my company name came from. One of the first popular after hours, and I say that because of course there was after, it's been after hours before we was born, but not an after hours that puts out advertisement that says we are actually open till 5. We wasn't on the low. We moved from our first location and moved into the back of the mall. That's how dope we was. We had police that knew what we did and what we were and was all good. We wasn't getting harassed like the hookah lounges because, one, I was technically like police. So I knew who to talk to. I knew fire marshals. I was on my, I'm always trying to, you know, do above board. So we were making really good money. We weren't getting harassed. We had a crazy parking lot because we was in the mall. We had crazy space because we was in the mall.
Parking lot
Yeah, love, you missed it. We had a crazy parking lot. We were doing our own security because me and my ex-friend at the time, rest in peace. Okay, she didn't die. She just doesn't matter. But my ex-friend at the time, and I started it with a dude that was my...
I'm sorry.
Oh, you don't want me to keep going? You want to say something?
No, I want to say something.
Just, that was funny. All right, no, I'm not Catholic at all. So. let's... Let me pour some out for the dead homie. Okay?
R.I.P.
Because let me tell you something. Those friends that I mentioned earlier from New York, I'm from Buffalo, New York. Those friends I mentioned earlier, they taught me what friendship was. Doesn't matter if we stole each other girlfriends. Don't matter if we fought over money. Don't matter if we... This is a truthful episode of Industry Talk Podcast. But we always found a way back to each other. I have friends in Buffalo who literally didn't talk to each other for 2 years, and it tore our group apart. But you know, I'm out of town, so I'm looking at them like, what's wrong with y'all? But we still friends 25 years later, from middle school, high school and on. Some of them family members.
That's,
you know,
so
what I mean,
important. like when, that's crazy.
When I first got sick in when I was 14, these people picked me up, took me to the bathroom, fed me my medicine, fed me food, helped my mom. My mom was a single mom because, you know, we lived in Buffalo. My dad lived in Baltimore. So they were kids helping, taking care of another whole human being. That's a lot of responsibility. Nobody asked them to do that. They chose to do that.
Right.
Their parents, my friend Nita's mom, you know, and this is a real rest in peace, beautiful woman, took care of me too. And I don't even think our parents even met each other. That's real love. Like, oh, my daughter loves you. I love you too. You know what I mean? For real. So, and my good friend, T, her mother, that's another rest in peace.
Love you, T.
Her mother loved me too. And I would stay over her house. Like, these people are my family. So I know what real friendship looks like, what it's supposed to be, what it's supposed to feel like. And this person that I went into business with was not, you know, keeping secrets, doing stuff behind my back. Some people were like, get over it. You know, people do it. People do do it.
People do do it, but you know.
But I don't have to get over it.
And it's really important.
Not even get over it. I got over it.
Right.
But I can forgive you without letting you in my space. Exactly. I can forgive you without letting you get another chance to do me dirty.
Exactly.
Because the next time you do me dirty,
that's it.
It might, you know, I might be in jail. You know, because nowadays, back then, you know,
I'm gonna have to bail her ass out.
And nobody wanna spend money on that.
Really dope.
So anyway, we had this successful club 2014, and I came to her and I said, what? And I mean, we was bringing in
did you wanna go to New York? Did I wanna go to New York?
What
did you say?
No, and
you said so many things.
No, about the club, what I came to you, how we ended the club.
Oh,
we technically ended the club because there was a Jewish man who owned that back part of the mall. And he came one day while we were having a very successful event. And he decided that black girls are making too much money. And he was sent over a new lease like the next Monday and was like, we want to go up $3,000. If I'm going to go up $3,000, I might as well lease my whole building.
So if she wanted to do that, we definitely could have did that.
But then I said what to
her? Reevaluate. And I was still on the, I was like, we going to pay that. Like, yeah, we can do this. But she said that she felt like she wasn't doing anything for her community and wasn't like affecting the community at large, like how she wanted to. And at first, I was just like, but don't you think, but we're making so much money. But, you know, I mean, Jazz has definitely showed me that money is not the only important thing, and that, like, doing things for your community and making a statement and making a statement with your business is really important, especially as Black women. And, you know, it's really important to help and, you know,
yeah,
do things for your community that you feel like is helping in a way that isn't only like just throwing parties or just to have fun or, you know, but something that will educate your peers and help your peers excel and whatever they're doing.
No shade on anybody who is like a full-time party promoter.
Because we love parties.
Because we love you.
Period.
But for me, I needed purpose. And it just wasn't fulfilling my purpose. Because after a while, the money became beautiful. But watching these people fight.
Right.
Watching these people be drunk.
And it was. After I thought about it, it was, you know, I was just
like, and it was like, we were doing it to them.
Be this person.
She was the bartender.
I'm like, we don't want to be these people to put you in this situation to express yourself in a not productive way.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm obviously definitely still in food and beverage. I love alcohol.
Because that's her purpose.
Pusher, and that is my purpose.
But she's an alcohol educator. Because if you sell something, that means that you have told them why and what and how and when and where.
When I say I love alcohol, like it's because, not because like.
She is a drinker. Don't let her say she not.
I am a drinker. You see this? See it a little bit? But no, I am a drinker, but honestly, like, I think that it's really important for us as a community, especially in the Black community, no offense to anyone else, but especially...
You know I love my white guys.
My man is white, come on.
She love her white guys, like, too, for a different reason.
Love that. Okay. But it's just, it's very important for us to know what we're talking about and be educated and be, because, you know, like... This has been a big business since pre-prohibition. You know,
I got a question.
Ooh, what's your question, girl?
Not to get you in any trouble, so if you can't answer it, that's cool. But you were speaking about educating your community and people. Now, we done got off subject, but this is why she got to come back. I'm going to jump back on subject. You know what? I'm going to hold my question.
Okay.
I'm going to jump back on subject. Segment.
Okay, good.
So anyway, I lost everything. I lost my girlfriend. I lost my house. I lost my business. Because everything I was doing was tied into that house. I lost it because these people decided if I physically can't work for them and do free stuff for them, I didn't matter. And if you haven't been on the lives, I got sick. I have rheumatoid arthritis. I started to not be able to walk. I basically was working myself into the ground and I started to deteriorate.
Literally.
Period. You have to take care of yourself. Especially if you're, now I know terms, if you're a solopreneur, which means you don't have a staff, I'm the marketing person, I'm the social media person, I do payroll, I do this, I do scheduling, I do this. If you're that person, which is fine, but if you're that person, you can't get sick,
And if you have friends that do that, look out for your friends, check on your friends, because
that was good.
Sometimes, I mean, I can only speak for Jazz, but sometimes... those people won't ask for help.
Yeah.
Or be like, hey, I feel like... I feel like I'm struggling, or I feel like I'm, you know, having a hard time, whatever.
Some water?
Like,
yes. Yeah, okay. Well, I got Pellegrino, and then I got actual water from your refrigerator.
I'll take the refrigerator.
Okay.
Well, Pellegrino, shout out to you.
You can drink out of it. I haven't drank... that was for the show. I haven't drank out of it yet. Not the water in the cup. Was there whiskey in there? Oh, no, she drank all of it.
Yeah, it was whiskey in there, but...
no, I meant, like, still in there.
It's whiskey-flavored water.
Ha!
It's amazing.
Absolutely. Don't y'all steal that! We copyrighting whiskey-flavored water.
We're copyrighting whiskey water, so whiskey water by See My Bar. Thank you.
Yes! Don't play with me. You know I will make you really do that. Anyway, so, okay. Moving on a couple months past depression... I lost one of my best friends, the one I was just talking about, rest in peace. And no, she's not dead, y'all, for the new people on the line. But we took a trip for my birthday. And at that birthday, we were in the woods. It was like, you know, and I kind of spent some time thinking with myself, over talking, a lot of stuff. And I realized, like, one, I was killing myself. All that stuff was taken away because it wasn't no good. That business deal wasn't no good. I put money into that house. I put money into the construction. I put money. That was dumb. You want to know why? Because the only thing that was on paper was a month rental lease. Because they're smart. They were smarter than me at the time. They got me on a rental lease, but we didn't put anything on pay. They were smarter when it came to the housing because that's their game. That's what they do. They do real estate. So they knew to put that on paper, but they didn't put the rent to own on paper. They didn't put the value trade, sweat equity. They ain't do none of that. They ain't put none of that on paper. I put everything on paper. Now I'm putting my mama on paper. My daddy asked me for something. They got to do with business. I'm putting you on papers. I don't care, bro. I'm putting everybody on papers now.
That's
because
really important.
I learned my lesson.
It doesn't mean that you don't trust the person. It's just really way more beneficial.
Y'all better get those prenups too. But I'm telling you, I'm about to be a millionaire. When I get married, it's going to be a prenup. Anyway, so a couple months later, growing, crying, depression, blah, blah, blah. My business manager asked me, who's a friend, so she knew me this whole time, asked me, what is it I want to do? Out of all those things you were doing, what is it that meant the most to you? What is it that sparks that fire in you? And it went right back to what the story you were telling, which you didn't even know we were going to talk about this, but that story about why I quit the lounge, and in case y'all didn't know, y'all can hashtag After Hours Lounge. I bet you will find some.
You'll find some old photos.
And some old video of us killing the game. Anyway. We even put floors in that place.
Like we laid
pictures of that too.
We laid the floors. We laid them.
Wasted money because we were so much ahead of our time that we didn't know, but we didn't know business. Mm. You know, we had the meat and potatoes, but we ain't had an oven.
That was good.
All right. So anyway, when she asked me, it took me back to the lounge. Like, okay, I quit that because it wasn't giving me the purpose fulfillment that I wanted. One thing out of all those times I never quit doing was security. I never stopped doing. When I had the lounge, I would go to work at 7 a.m., but I would get off at the lounge at 5 a.m.
Can I just say?
Yes, you
I
can.
I always feel safe. Like, honestly, Jazz has definitely taught me a multitude of things, especially, like, when I read the de-escalation book. Like, I'm definitely not in the security firearms, okay? Because this is a good book, regardless. Like, I was a bar manager, and if anyone is a bartender or bar manager or, you know, in hospitality, like, people come outside to show their worst selves. Honestly.
That's not what I thought she was going to say to y'all.
Unfortunately. Yeah, well, you know, it's true. Like, honestly, people come out to show their worst selves, and it's, Jazz always is giving situational awareness, and, you know, it's important for you in whatever job you do to be situationally aware, and aware of what's going on around you, aware of who's coming in your business.
Wait, who's coming in? Let me tell you how situationally aware I am now. So there's a third person in the house, right? Social media savvy? Not at all.
Sorry, what?
Not at all. Listen.
You talking about my person?
Yes. Not social media savvy at all. She walked in. When she walked into the studio, I didn't tell her to close the door, right? I didn't tell her to close the door just in case he thought we were finished.
Did I close the door?
No. The door is open. But just in case. I didn't tell you to close it because of this. Situationally, I know that he may think that we're finished and just
and he
up here
hear well, so.
And just up here kicking it. And he'd be like, well, I want to come up there and drink too. And he would knock on the door or he would just come in to start talking. But if the door is open, he doesn't have to knock and he could just come in and see that we're still talking. So I am beyond situationally aware because that is actually something I thought about when I watched her walk past and come sit down. I didn't go, hey, can you close the door? Which usually I'm saying close the door so we don't hear stuff happening outside or whatever. But that is, I really am that much.
And just like, you have definitely made me be more, when I go to a restaurant, I'm a bartender. When I go, I usually sit wherever, whatever, mm-hmm. doesn't matter. But when I go out with Jazz, she'd be like, no, I need to be facing, don't sit now. Like, I need to be facing the door. I don't like my back to the door. I don't like not being able to see who's coming in. And personally, as a small, smiley lady, You know, sometimes people coming into your bar after midnight, it could be weird. Mm-hmm. And you want to see who's coming in. You want to, like, understand what, I don't want to say threat, but, like, you want to understand what is
for you, you need to feel that aura. You need to be able to see what they, because when somebody walks in the door, even if they're a chameleon and they might be whatever, but when they first step in, they gotta switch themselves.
And like,
so you might catch that by staring.
I've literally had to kick people out because they're too drunk or they're mm-hmm. too...
They stumble in. That's
they're
it.
They're too boisterous or whatever. And you know, like, I'm a small lady and I'm boisterous and I can kick you up. I can kick you out. But either way...
Is that liquor?
Shut up. But either way, it's important to know what's like coming at you because...
Yeah.
It's better to be ahead of the situation than behind it, honestly.
Yeah, and for mental stuff like de-escalation and situational awareness, it's just like a gun. It's better to have it and not need it than not have it and need it. Because if you wasn't situationally forward-thinking or you wasn't right. de-escalation forward-thinking...
And I think bartenders need that. They need, mm-hmm. especially lady bartenders, obviously male bartenders as well. But usually people put male bartenders in... position to be like, oh, I want a man here so he can be like, hey, get out.
Hey
you
there,
know
buddy.
What I'm saying? And
watch yourself.
In the bar that I managed, it was myself and the owner. The owner was a man. He was an older man, but he would leave.
Not calling my man.
I love him. I love him.
I'm going to cut out that one part and send it to him.
Do not send it to him. But either way, like,
he was an older man.
You know? And either way, like, he would go home. So, I would be closing the bar by myself, and mm-hmm. it's really important for me to be, like, knowing what's going on and knowing what's coming in my bar and knowing how to handle it, because, like, if somebody comes into my bar and acts crazy, like, I need to be able mm-hmm. to shift it.
Something
and,
in your career that stood out for me, not at this last bar, but one
ooh,
day...
I know what you're talking about.
Ooh, do you? Okay, mouth it to them. Mouth what you think it is. Okay, all right, so... one day I picked her up from work and it was, I don't know, 12, 1, I don't know. And she was taking out the trash and it was dark. The trash can was in a weird, awkward place. There was no camera, there was no lighting. And if where I parked was because I got there a little early, so I was just going to sit in the middle of the parking lot, but it was like, it was just a weird place. And so I was like, are you the only one there?
They got you taking out the trash.
They got you taking out the trash. And it's not about women not being able to take out the trash because
I can take out the trash.
Because chill.
Okay.
Don't even get in my comments talking about
it. Take out the trash.
But it was the point of it's dark. She's small. The bag was bigger than her.
Somebody could smash
me. Just think about this. The struggle of pulling, picking, and lifting up the bag is, in fact, creating you to be a easy target
because
focused on
like,
doing this.
Because I literally
had
to take the bag.
So if I'm a bad guy, I'm gonna wait for you to have to take out the trash because it's gonna be easier to snatch you that way than you actually walking and being alert with your keys in the middle of your fingers ready to punch in the face. That was a little tip for y'all. But anyway,
I'd be doing that.
Anyway, so she asked me what I want to do. What's my purpose? That's really her.
Yeah.
So then, she asked me and I said, okay, security. Security is the only thing that I've never let go. No matter what I was doing, I was doing music videos. I was doing photography. I had a podcast studio. My podcast studio had kids in it. And I was letting kids record their songs for free. Some of them really sucks. Some of them were good. But, you know, I had a TV show on ABC too. Y'all can look that up too on YouTube. It was called After Hours Tea.
Oh my God, I suck so bad.
I be doing stuff. Like, if you know me, you better start leveraging your relationship with me to get some
stuff. This show
done.
Is good, though.
But anyway, so I still did security on the side. Always. All the time. But when I got broke, depressed, I didn't have a dollar to my name. A little while after, I lost my car. I was asleep, and they came and whoop, repoed that mug. Okay, they came and took that. It was a crispy baby blue leather interior Jaguar XF.
He was gorgeous.
Oof. But I don't give a shit about cars no more. Like, I actually want a new car now, and I'm like, I don't like nothing. And so I haven't gotten a new car. I do like the Range Rover. I do not like BMWs.
You're not a Beamer. You're not a Beamer girl.
But I've been watching Frasier. I've been watching Frasier.
Frasier had a Beamer?
And he had a black BMW, and he talks about it all the time.
What series?
I'm going to find out tomorrow because I watch it. I watch it every morning with my coffee and my newspaper. But he stood by BMWs. But anyway, I can do a whole episode of cars. But okay, so after that, I lost my car. Boom. That's it. I was like, oh my God, everything is gone. I'm just, oh my God.
You're dumb.
So fast forward till my ex-girlfriend gave me her Mercedes. She bought a brand new BMW truck. And she said, you're about to get back on your feet. I know it. Here, take this Mercedes.
And she was right.
So I took the Mercedes and I worked every security job I could at that moment. And I did like overnight, whatever. But that still wasn't purposeful to me. Like, it was the thing I knew that was my purpose to do. But I was like, and she is a quit your job advocate. She ain't worked for somebody.
She really is.
She ain't worked for somebody in over 25, 30 years. You know what I'm saying? So she was like, hey, you know, you can start your own company. And I was like, no, I can't. That's crazy. Oh my God. I'm not making enough money. Like, it's like, I'm complaining about not making enough money, but also I'm denying the fact that I could make my own money. It was so stupid, but
had your own company. It's essentially.
Right. I told her I couldn't do something that I already did.
Was doing, literally.
That's how much, if you let money or material things control your... If you let them control your emotions,
you won't ever do it.
Then you're going to allow them to control your thought process. And I was that person. Now I'm not, you know, but I denied that. But then when I said, okay, I think I really am going to do it, I decided to start with my private detective license first. I didn't have the money to get my private detective license. Two people gave me money for that. One, his name is Sean Ector. He was my old boss at my federal job. He gave me money. And then my friend Ataya Weeks gave me money. Those two people changed the trajectory of my life. And I don't know if I've ever said that to them, but they changed the trajectory of my life because they sowed a seed into something that was going to blow up into what it is today. And I paid them back. I think it was when I made my first $1,500 off of an investigation, I paid them back. I cashed at them. What's your Cash App? What's your Cash App? Because you got to take care of the people who took care of you.
I mean, that's so important that you even,
Yeah. So, okay. So I did that. In the class, they talked about process serving, but they didn't go into it. They talked about all these other things. So while I'm working this $15 an hour job, sitting in this new Mercedes, okay, it wasn't new, it was old as shit, but it was new to me. And sitting in this Mercedes, I'm making $15 an hour, but I'm there for 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. And I hated it. But it gave me time. It was such a easy job. I was just sitting in my car watching an empty building, but it gave me time to study. So I chose process serving. I said, process serving is going to be how I learn how to be a private detective, how I get in with law firms, how I, you know, train myself. Because the training class only touched on, like, you can do this, you can do this, here you go, boop, and you're done. I Googled how to become a, literally, this is what I typed in, how to become a process server in Maryland. Search. Boop. That's how I became a process server in Maryland. I Googled how to become a process server in Maryland. Some of y'all don't even want to do that. Some of y'all will ask me questions that you could literally type into Google. And sometimes, if you catch me on a good day, like a day without coffee, I will literally text you back and say, Google it.
I don't think people like realize that. I think sometimes with certain jobs or certain skill sets or whatever, like people don't think that it's just as simple as Googling it. And the fact that it can be, and the fact that you're sharing that with people is really important. Just because, nice one. Like, people, honestly,
you're right. Things I think are common sense are not always common sense. You're right.
Things aren't common sense. Mm-hmm. And honestly, from even in my field, Like, you can Google so much stuff.
Industry Talk podcast in her industry.
You can Google so much stuff, and people, I've done tastings, spirit tastings. Oh my God, this is amazing. You know so much. And I'd be like, little do you know, I Googled it before I got here. And
for real.
It's like, use Google. Use YouTube Google.
And Google are like going to college.
YouTube University.
For real.
Because, I mean, I feel like people just think that it's like a if you know type situation. And sometimes it is, but like a lot of the time,
I would like to say something on that.
Yourself.
I'm going to finish my story, but if you know, you know. That's because we got a lot of, let me get close to the mic.
Get close to the mic, girl.
That's because we got a lot of gatekeepers out in this industry. People don't want to share information. They don't want to share tips.
Crazy,
they don't want to share.
Anybody's from Baltimore.
If I ain't never been a gatekeeper. Now, it's some things that be like, no, I did a lot of research to figure this out and to move this way and to do that. And you either need to pay me for it.
And
now,
that's important.
You need to pay me for this information. But stop being gatekeepers. You hating on yourself because what's for you is for you. What's for them is for them. And for me to help you get to where I am, you're still not going to be where I am because what's for me is for me. Now, that could be on some spiritual stuff. That could be on some logic stuff. But if it's for me,
I mean, I feel like that's
just... It's mine. Too. No.
Like, I mean... Yeah, for real. Whatever is for you. And honestly, like, just because someone does the same thing that you do doesn't mean that there isn't space for the both of y'all or for the all of y'all.
Listen.
I used to think that way, I feel like.
I mean, I'm sure I thought that way.
If there's a bartender, like, my drinks are better than hers, and I can do this better than you, and better. But it's just like.
I knew you was about to do that.
But honestly, I'm an excellent bartender, and I know about spirits. And, you know, in my new job, I've met a lot of other people that really know about spirits as well. And it's honestly, for me, it's like, it's inspiring just because I'm like, damn, I'm not the only one that like knows about this and cares about this. And like, if something's for you, it's gonna be for you, and nobody's gonna be able to stop your shine from, you know,
the only way they could stop it is you allow them to stop it. Because in a corporate setting, it'd be haters, and they might have more authority than you, and they finagle their little authority to do things that do hinder you. So but we ain't honestly, saying that it don't exist. But but what we saying is, if it's for you, it's going to be for
you. If
you
got it.
You're going to have hurdles. You're going to have hard days. You're going to have hard times. Now, so I decided, boom, I'm going to get my private detective. I got my private detective license. Thank you, Maryland State Police. So then I got my private detective license, and I said, I'm going to be a process server. And half the people I said that to didn't know what process serving were. Process serving was. Process serving literally is you taking court documents to somebody's house, job, or catching them on the street, because I do it all.
You've got served. Bah! You've been served.
It's stuff we've seen in TV all the time, like, hey, you've been served. Hey, Michael.
Michael, right?
And they'd be like, oh, yeah. And be like, oh, hold this. Be like, what's this? You got served. Now, I don't do that. I don't do that. But I have done all kinds of things.
Has anyone seen Pineapple Express?
I have picked up somebody's Amazon box, knocked on the door, gave them their box with the cert. I ain't never say, hey, it's Amazon, because you don't want to go jail for impersonation. But I have done all kinds of stuff, bro. It was on their porch. Maybe they didn't know it was there. So I picked it up. I said, oh, here's your package.
And also.
Oh, what's this? And you got saved. Now, I don't say you got served because of the movie You Got Served.
Wait, you can't say for Lil Saint?
So I don't say it because it sounds corny to me. So I don't say
it. Because we're doing it for Lil Saint.
But what were you about to ask me?
Are we doing it for Lil Saint?
No, you said I can't say the Amazon thing.
Have you been served? Like,
oh, no, you can. You can say it. I don't say it because I'm cool as shit.
Right, of course you don't say, like, this is from Amazon because that's illegal.
Right, and I don't even know if the Amazon thing is illegal. I do know that.
You know what? I don't know if it's illegal. It sounds illegal.
It sounds illegal, so I don't do it, right? But you shouldn't impersonate anybody, anything. Yeah, like, I'm a private detective. When somebody say who at the door, I say Private Detective Lee.
Yeah.
I don't say Detective Lee. You see some of these security guards out here, say, just say detective or just say officer. First of all, if you want to be a detective, go to the academy, get in the job, do your beat, and then become a detective. Stop trying to front out here in these streets. But I digress. Somebody just got arrested in Prince George County because they were impersonating a police officer. Oh, he probably might not even thought he was impersonating a police officer. But he had blue and red lights. And it's illegal to have blue and red lights because you ain't the police. You know what? Public service announcement. Hold up.
Yes, do it.
If you're a special police officer, you are not a police officer.
Sorry.
You're special. You're a special kid. In school, if they called you a special student, okay. If they called you a special kid, you know, after the divorce and your dad was like, you're such a special kid. You're not a police officer. That means you're a police. You have police authority to a certain extent in the place that you are designated to be. Okay? That, if you're at a mall, if you're at not even a mall, if you're at whatever, housing complex, and you guys are special police officers at that housing complex, if you walk away from the housing complex and go to Family Dollar, you are no longer a police officer. Stop it, y'all. Y'all going to jail for stupid stuff. You know good and well, my friend bought a Crown Vic with a spotlight on it at the auction. Neighbors thought it was the cops, and we're here every week, and we're there every, yeah, because you gotta be careful with that stuff. Thank you, Vicky. I don't know why I just randomly saw that comment, but y'all gotta stop that. Now back to the process service. So what I did was I decided who I wanted to process for, who I wanted to process serve for. I decided I wanted to process serve for lawyers because lawyers got money and I don't have time for people not to pay me. So I chose lawyers. Then I decided how I'm going to get to the lawyers. I put on my best Sunday suit and I took my butt downtown and I paid for parking.
And they love you.
Everybody loves me. And, you know, not true because I'm so single. But anyway.
Wow.
Oof, I've been drinking. So I took my butt. I got my friend Sean Ector. He printed out probably about 100-150 color resumes. I created my resume on Canva, a free app, and I made a private detective resume. Now, mind you, I ain't never been a private detective before. So you might want to know what was on my resume. Everything I've ever done in life, but worded in the way that it would appeal
to the
consumer.
People that.
So, working at Old Navy in the mall in Cheektowaga and Buffalo. In Buffalo. In Cheektowaga. I guess it's in Cheektowaga. But anyway, I worded the customer service thing like skilled in staying in one place for multiple hours. I skilled in talking to people from different ethnic groups. Because Canadians, I love y'all.
Oh, yeah.
But Canadians used to come into Cheektowaga Mall during that no tax season and wall out. Y'all be walling out. Y'all be so rude to them daggone people. When I worked at Old Navy, I requested off those weeks. I knew the Canadians was coming down the shop, bro. Because y'all crazy with... Y'all crazy. Anyway. So, that's how I got started. And then I probably put out 50 resumes and only got one call back. And then one person sent it to another person because all those paralegals. Then I learned something. I wasn't really trying to get at the lawyers. You should be trying to get at the paralegals because the lawyers listen to the paralegals because
what's
the paralegals.
Between the lawyer and the paralegal.
Ooh, that's a good question, Shorty.
Because I genuinely don't know.
So the
show me.
All right. So the difference between a paralegal and a lawyer. Paralegals are not lawyers. That's the biggest difference.
So paralegal
is basically, man, I wish I knew. I'm gonna Google the actual definition, but paralegals are the people who do all the grunt work for the lawyer, just for the lawyer to go in court and act
and
like they did.
This is the research that I've done.
Exactly. They do the research. They sometimes they create the documents, get, you know, talk to the clients, da da da. Unless the lawyer has to talk to the client, you know, the lawyers talk to the client too. But paralegals are a big part of the whole law process.
I had a lawyer.
Paralegals file the paperwork.
I had never had a paralegal. I had a lawyer, girl. You have.
Can I have some more?
Yes.
Paralegals are the backbone of any law office. They're the ones who are doing the research, the paperwork, the keeping the schedules doing. Because you might have an executive assistant.
That's gonna be good for you all night.
This is it for me. Cheers to everybody watching.
Cheers, and then hit the devil off, and then drink it. Mm. Cheers. Mm-hmm. So, was there anything in that cup?
Yeah, I thought it was water, but it was whiskey.
Oh my god! So I got one call back. I worked for that person. Then I got an email from another law office, and they were asking me all these questions. And I just didn't know the answers, and I didn't know the terms, and I didn't know none of that stuff. So again, I had to go back to Google, but she could see that I didn't know it. And I decided, since I realized she could see it, I'm gonna start asking questions. So I asked this lady, what is that? What is this? What is that? She didn't hire me because she knew I was too new. And she was like, no, but she answered every question, but she didn't hire me.
And now you know.
But now I know. So, side note, on the 31st of March at 7 p.m., I am going to be doing a live webinar on how to be a process server, how to become a process server. I'm going to give you terms to know ahead of the game. I'm going to give you all the tips and tricks that I can within that hour, because I'm out unlike this. I'm still here. That's amazing. But I'm doing a webinar. You can sign up for it. I'll drop it in all the comments on all these videos. It's free. It's a free webinar. It don't cost you anything. I got a couple of things I want to talk about, but 2023 could be the year of a side hustle. And I make my own hours. I say what I want to charge. I make my own.
Because what she said, I'm about to be a process.
So listen.
I'm about to take it.
So listen, process serving is so simple, but you make your own money. So say I started out, I started out charging people $30. I knew I would be under. I always treat things like drug deals. I knew that I had a good product, but I needed to undercut. My favorite movie is Paid in Full. Things that I do in life, the way I run my business, I run my business like I'm running a drug ring. I ain't playing it. Like, I don't even care how you feel about that, what you think about that. It's the truth. I treat my employees like, hey, I'm feeding you. No, I'm just playing. I'd be firing quick. I'll give a refund quick and I fire quick, but that's a whole nother. I'm actually going to do a whole podcast on firing and refund.
Because for real, like I'm.
You what?
A part of getting people fired.
All right, so we can get her. If we can get her back, we're going to do an episode on firing and refunding. Because when I first started, I refunded people so fast. Square Merchant Services was probably like, is there something wrong with this girl's app? Because I would refund so fast. Because one, you're not going to talk to me any old kind of way. You're not going to act ungrateful. You're not going to question me about my prices. Refund.
Working for Jasmine, like, I feel safe. And I feel taken care of. And if I feel uncomfortable, she's quick to be like,
oh, I'm a firecracker. Like, what? I told one of my process servers today, I told her today, she was going back and forth with somebody who was getting a subpoena about when to give him the subpoena. It's somebody that, certain people that you serve are not just random people. They could be people of a certain stature.
Of importance.
And they actually, you know, don't care about getting sued because they got money. Or they're in a job where they can't, like, evade it. They have to take it. So sometimes you can schedule the serve. Like, I can go to the law office and give it to you, or I could go to the doctor's office and give it to you, whatever. I can't really say who this other person is. But she was going back and forth, and he wasn't being difficult. Their schedules are just different. And I told her, and she kind of told me, like, not scared, but she kind of said it to me like she was worried that I'd be upset or worried that she wasn't doing. And I'm like, uh-uh. You make your own schedule. You got a whole federal job. If you don't have time today or tomorrow and he asking for tomorrow, you tell him what you got time for and you give him options. You don't let him give you the options. Because being a process server, you are your own boss essentially. Even if you work for me, I'm going to give you what you need to do what you got to do. I'm going to give you your time frame. But in between that, you ain't even going to hear from me. Unless the client hit me up and say, hey, you know, what's the update on this? Then I'm going to hit you up like, hey, the client said, what's up? But other than that, you're your own boss. I don't want to oversee you. I don't want to micromanage you. I want to give the work to somebody who's going to do it and do it well and listen to what I got to say because I've been doing this and do it. I don't want to be like, yo, you served this person yet? Yo, you did this yet? If I'm going to do that, I might as well just do it myself.
Right.
So anyway, I started out with one person. Then I started out with another person and I was only charging $30. But then I would do like 10 at a time. I don't even know how much that comes.
But I feel like
Are you good at math? All right. Where's your phone? Grab your phone.
Does somebody put in the chat what's 30 times 10? We should probably know that.
No, we shouldn't.
You got to that calculator fast as hell. What she was doing? All right, 30 times 10 is 3,000. 300. Okay. So the first time I had 10, I was only charging $30 a serve. And I made $300 in 2 hours in one day. If you work a job and you make $15 an hour, go back to the thing. Oh, sorry.
No.
Go back to the thing. $15, put in 15 times 8. You only making $120 if you're making $15 an hour for 8 hours of your life. I wasn't even making an hourly rate. For 2 hours, I made $300 and I still had other ones to do the next day. Then I started to charge more. You can charge whatever it is you want to charge. So then I got more clients. Other paralegals and lawyers were sharing my name and my information with other law firms, other paralegals, and my clientele grew over time. And then boom, six figures came out of nowhere. And through the pandemic, my job for security, it got shut down. Now, mind you, I didn't have my own company yet. I was learning. So I didn't start the company yet. My job that I had during the pandemic 2020 shut down. Boom. I had no more work. So I did full-time process serving. I ate, boy. And because I ate, I bought more guns. And then, because I bought more guns, Trump was running for office. People were stealing toilet paper. I started firearm training. Once I did that, money came falling in. Process serving, fine. Now I got two streams. The thing is, process serving took me to where I had to get to because it took me and it focused me and then I stopped doing this, and I focused on that one thing. But now, the lawyers who had me process serving are now hiring me for investigations because on my resume, I said private detective and process serving was just something that I do. I didn't title myself as a process server because my end goal was to be a private investigator. So now they need a crime scene or they need a case that's cold or they need an accident scene investigated or a witness talked to. They're like, oh, my process server does investigations. You got to build those relationships. Process serving, if I charge $100, because I started out at $30, I charge $100 or $150 per serve. So if I got five serve and I do $100 and five serves are all near each other, they all in Baltimore City. One, I'm stopping to get food at an Atlas restaurant. Then I'm doing all the serves at the same time. So I made $500 in 2 hours.
Since you dropped that.
Now I'm making $500 in 2 hours of just driving. Nobody with me. Nobody talking to me. All you got to do is do the paperwork, turn the paperwork in, and you good. Process serving is definitely a lane that you can get wealthy with. $100K for just giving people papers at their door. A lot of people don't even know that this exists. In Maryland, you can be 18 and older and you just can't be involved in the case and you can be a process server. So make sure that y'all get on my webinar on the 31st because I'm going to be...
Wow, that's amazing.
Right. Now, it's not like that in every state. Some states actually make you get, because in New York State, makes you get a license for process serving, which isn't difficult. You just Google it. It isn't difficult, but in Maryland, it's the easiest side hustle because there's no overhead. If you already got a printer, if you already got a car, that's it. You're a process server, period. Wow. If you ain't scared to talk to people, if you ain't scared.
Because at this point, I'm about to be a process server.
Right. Like, the other day, I had five or six serves. They were so local. They were close to me. I went out maybe 7 a.m. Got back in the house at 11 a.m. I had made $650. But if I got to go to D.C., I'm charging more. If I got to go to Delaware, Pennsylvania, I'm charging more. I'm making $1,000 in a day, and it's like whatever. So my whole thing of doing my webinar is based on me making $4K in a day. Because I'm sure I've made that in a day, but it's been like security. If the contract is a $40,000 contract or a $20,000 contract for a festival and it's one day, yes, I made $20K in a day. But $4K in a day just off doing something super simple and I was only out the house for 3 hours, it's crazy. So I want to share that with everybody. And that's what this was about. I literally went from not having enough money to pay for my sub when it came to the door and me crying to me being able to do whatever it is I feel like. I've been to Barbados two or three times. I stayed 30 days the first time, you have to think about what you want in the future and then do everything that puts you closer and closer to that. Closer and closer to that thing. Because she's been a bartender for a long time, but she's been wanting to get out of it for a long time. And then she took the leap. And it's difficult. It's hard.
Yes.
It's a learning curve.
It's a learning curve, but it's, I mean, it's a learning curve, but it's better than what I was experiencing.
Not because the other bar owner was old, but because of the industry. But listen, that's it. That's how I started.
That's it.
That's how I started my company. I was broke as hell, crying at the door with the... And let me just tell y'all, don't cry at the door with the sub man, because he gonna look at you like, what the hell is wrong with you? But also, if you have a sickness like I have, be prepared. So now I have an IUL.
IUL?
She has one too.
From your... Yep.
Do you still have it?
Yep.
It's automatic payments coming out.
It is.
Have you checked the app?
Yeah. No.
You should. When we get off here, I'm gonna help her check the app to see how much money you accrued. I'm gonna give you the app, and you probably never set up the app. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So she's. So she has IUL. I have IUL. You just have to make sure that you have some savings, some investments, and stuff. Because if you know that it's a possibility that you get sick, that you could get sick. I did it right this time. Then you have to be prepared for that. So that's it, though. That's all I got for y'all. Y'all make sure y'all stay safe, but stay dangerous. This is See My Bar. You can follow her at See My Bar. Follow me at I Am. Oh, sorry. What is it?
At See My Bar, .0.
See My Bar, .0. You can follow me at I Am Jazzy C on everything. But you can follow the podcast at Industry Talk Podcast on everything. Make sure when I drop that comment in these lives, for that webinar, y'all get on that webinar. It's time for y'all to make 4K in a day.
And I'll be back, y'all. So
she'll be back.
Me.
We're gonna be back and get drunk again.
If anyone has any whiskey options that they'd like to try
hear about
or know about, please
send your request on the comments, or you could email industrytalkpodcast@gmail.com, or you could go to our Instagram and put it in our DM. Cigars you want to hear or get my review on.
Exacto.
Whiskey you want. Because she didn't do a review this time. But next time, this was just kind of the intro. Next time, she can do a review on some whiskey and some suggestions. And I can do a cigar and we can pair it. And that's what we're going to do. So, I'm out of here. I got to turn everything off. Let me see. Turn one thing off. All right. And then we're going to turn this off.